When do you know you're too busy, too hectic? All of us say we got so much going on. Maybe you can learn from our guest today on Focus on the Family.
A few years ago, I was trying to cram way too much in my life all at the same time. I had booked myself a 6 a.m. flight, which I've learned now is never a good decision, and had traveled out of town, took a 4 a.m. shuttle to get to the airport, if you can even imagine, thinking that I was Superwoman, fell asleep on the shuttle, woke up when we got to the airport, went into the airport, stood in line, was waiting with maybe 30 other people in the security line, and start reaching around in my purse to find my phone, because what else are we going to do when we have waiting time? And I realized at that moment that I had fallen asleep on the shuttle, left my phone on the shuttle seat, and it was driving away with the driver. So in desperation, I look at this sweet couple behind me and said, can I please borrow your phone? I just need to call my phone. I'm going to turn that shuttle around. He's going to bring my phone back and everything's going to be great. So they look at me like, okay, you crazy, frazzled woman. Hand me their phone. I start dialing my number, prepared to make my pitch to the shuttle driver. And instead of it ringing and him hearing it, my bra started ringing. I was standing in the middle of the airport with a stranger's phone to my ear, calling my own bra. And to make matters worse, I had to hang up this sweet couple's phone, hand them back their phone, reach into my own shirt, and answer my phone. And for the next 30 minutes while we waited in that security line, I did not make eye contact with anyone, but I had a lot of time to think about my choices, and maybe I was living life just a little too busy.
Oh, well, that is a crazy story. And maybe, I hope you can't relate to that, but maybe you can relate to being way, way too busy. We're going to talk about being hectic, being on the hamster wheel, trying to get off and slow life down. This is Focus on the Family. I'm John Fuller, and your host is Focus president and author Jim Daly.
Man, it is easy to get maxed out, and what a great description of being too maxed out that was. You know, we commit to so many good things, and we lose sight of the most important things. So today, we want to help you just consider where you're at, what your pace is. You probably, in the last 48 hours, have told at least one person, probably your spouse, that it is so busy right now. It is so hectic. I think we, especially here in the U.S., we almost take a pride in proving to everybody that we are busier than we should be. It's a bit of insanity, and we want to give you some saneness today as we talk about what's healthy in your own life. Women particularly reported being busier than men in recent surveys that we've seen. When the respondents were asked what they were sacrificing to their busyness, 56% cited sleep, 52% recreation, 51% hobbies, 44% friends, and 30% sacrificing their family. We don't want that to happen to you.
Yeah, there's a lot of guilt associated with that. I think our guest will help take the edge off of that and give you some great practical tools for stopping the madness. Allie Worthington is joining us today. She's a popular author and speaker and blogger and the executive director of Propel Women. And she and her husband, Mark, live in Nashville. And if you thought she was busy because she's a writer and speaker, she also has five boys.
Allie, welcome to Focus on the Family.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Let's start there with five boys. I love that. I've got only two, but that's great. Five boys, what are their ages?
Youngest to oldest, 9, 10, 13, 16, and 18.
So you're not very busy.
Not busy at all.
See, right there, moms are going, man, she's busier than me. We all begin to compare ourselves. but seriously, you wrote this book, Breaking Busy. You do have a little image of a hamster wheel in there that I caught on the cover, which is funny. It's almost one of those things, the hidden message of the book. Describe the hamster wheel. There may be some people that never had hamsters. So why does the hamster wheel mean busy?
Well, the hamster wheel just popped into my head immediately when I thought, how do I explain this feeling of being frazzled? And for so many women especially, we feel like we're going and going and going and never actually getting anywhere. That we're always running, we're always exhausted, we don't know when we're going to be able to stop. So after that story of me calling my own bra, I went home to my husband and said, I'm exhausted, I'm frazzled, I can't do this anymore, I think I'm burnt out. And I actually pitched the idea, I have no idea why, but I pitched in the moment that we sell our home, we get an RV, and we live off the land except for Starbucks and Wi-Fi. And luckily he said, that's a terrible idea. We're not going to do that. But we started looking at our lives to figure out what God wanted us to do, what we were called to do, and not just what we thought we should do. And he was so smart to realize that we had been making these choices that led to busyness, not so much out of a fear of God, but out of a fear of man and letting other people down. So we were just saying yes to too much and piling responsibility and extra things on ourselves.
You know, women, I think physiologically, brain chemistry, et cetera, they're so well connected, more so than us guys. They have more white matter. And that's God's design. Mm-hmm. And in that, though, you're thinking about a lot of things at one time. You multitask very well. Men are the compartmentalized guys. And we think about one thing really well. But in that context, to help the listener, that woman who may be going, I feel burned out. What are some of those adjectives? What are some of those things that a woman, you can help a woman say, if these things are happening, you may want to talk it over with your husband. You may want to talk about, you know, getting in the RV and taking off for 8 months and living off cornfields in Kansas. I don't know. But help that woman get to that epiphany that you got to.
Sure. The biggest one for me is, and I'm not going to assume anybody else has ever felt this way, but for me, it's out of control emotions.
Never.
No, just me. I'm just speaking for myself. If I start crying at commercials and I snap at my husband and I get upset with my kids and it's just completely out of line and out of character and, you know, they weren't drawing on the walls or something, that's when I realize things just may be stressful in my life and my emotions are my barometer that shows it. So for me, my out of control emotions were my flag that I had out of control expectations on myself. That was the connector there. So out of control emotions is huge. A second one is chronic lateness. So I'm going to preface this with anybody who has two or more children, you can almost always be late. But we like to think sometimes that if we are late or other people are always late, it's because they don't care enough, they're not responsible. Normally, people who are late all the time are late because they're trying to do too much. It's just busyness. You know, say you have your whole day planned out, you know you can get everywhere on time because you have to do 50 million things for your kids. But somebody says, can you also bake some organic muffins for Sunday school? Well, you want to be a nice person.
Only,
right. You want to be a nice person, so you say yes, but that throws your whole day off and you end up running kind of late. So I think that being a little bit late is often a sign that we're just taking on too much. So out of control emotions, being late, and those little illnesses that pop up that we just can't seem to get well from, whether it's a sinus infection or the flu or a cold or just the little things that add up. Normally it's because we're not taking care of ourselves, and that leads to illness.
For the practical person, the practical mom, she may say, yeah, I feel that way, but there's no margin in my schedule. That's great, Allie, but man, I'm stuck. What do you say?
Well, it's going to seem oversimplified, and everybody listening, don't even count this off because it seems simple, but it actually works. The simplest things work. For me, it's make a stop doing list.
A stop doing list.
Now,
I like that.
I'm a list maker. I have a list about where my lists are. I love lists. But for women and men who do a lot, we often say, I want to get out of this rut and I'm going to work my way out of it. So here's a list of 10 things I'm going to do. Well, that we want to go the opposite direction. I want to go, what are the two or three things that I'm doing now that I just know in my gut, I don't want to do this anymore? Or the two or three things that may come down the pike later, and you know, I'm going to say yes to this, even though I know I don't have the time, energy, or capacity. So I'm just going to plan in advance to say no. And if there's not something off the top of your head that you know is just sucking the life out of you and you want to stop doing, that's when you want to go pray about it and go, Lord, what's on my plate that you haven't put there? And He'll make that clear.
Yeah. And so, Allie, going back to what you said about being able to determine if this is something God has for you or not. We have people's attention. They're saying, okay, I'm there. How do I decide what goes on that not-to-do list? Well, I mean, there are things I want to put on there. How do I figure out what to offload?
Give it to your wife, John. She'll tell you.
She probably has a list already made up.
She has your list.
She, well, she does. It with you. Okay, so but speak to the wives, perhaps, whose husbands don't have that list.
For me, things will pop up in my head. I can think back on times when I said yes to an obligation or a responsibility that I knew I just did not have the time for, that I didn't have the resources for. But in that moment, I didn't want to disappoint anybody else. So I said yes to it and thought, well, I'll figure out how to get it done later. But by the time it came for me to fulfill that responsibility that I'd taken on, I was already a little bit resentful. So I had to learn some techniques to be able to give a gracious no in the beginning, so I wouldn't end up doing things out of obligation that I wasn't meant to
do. What does that sound like? What does a gracious no sound like?
Well, I took a tip from politicians. So, you know, on news shows, they will say, Senator so-and-so, why did you vote to take away X, Y, and Z? And he'll say, I did it for the children. I believe children are the future. And they'll ask him again, and he'll give the same answer. And I thought, he's just not answering the question. So I thought, I need a script like a politician to be able to tell people no. So whenever people ask me to do something and it's something that I don't want to do or I don't have the capacity to do, I have this little thing that I say to them, and it's all prepared. Thank you so much for asking. At this season in my life, I don't have the capacity to do it, but I appreciate that you thought of me.
I think, too, one of the things that I see in my wife is just the good nature part of mom. Mm-hmm. I mean, she wants to make sure home is fun. She wants to make sure there's a lot of yeses and hopefully fewer no's. But how do you, as mom, say no to five teenagers like you've got, or five boys, when they're clamoring for yeses? But you got to kind of put your foot down and say, you know what, we're not going to get that busy. I got to say no to that. How do you begin to kind of prioritize those things?
I'm very practical. So it all comes down to time and money when we're making decisions at home. So we're not jetting off to an amazing vacation as a family of seven this summer because of money. We're not going to every birthday party that every one of their friends has because of time, well, and money.
Right.
So we just set expectations. Each boy can do one, sometimes two if it works out, extracurricular activities per year. And that's what they do. We can't do it all. And for birthday parties, when the kids are little, they get to choose two classmates' birthday parties to go to a year.
Allie, probably one of the most common questions we get here is, especially, again, for moms, for women working outside of the home, how do you manage all that? You speak, you write, you're busy, you're flying here, you're flying other places. How do you manage all of that? And where do you find a sense of peace in that chaotic environment?
The main thing to keep in mind is what we are doing as moms, especially moms who are working, is keep in mind that we are called to do this in this season, and that is our purpose in this season. Every season of life tends to look different, but when we know that we are living the lives that God created for us and gave to us to live, it can take away that sense of guilt of, should I be doing this? Should I not be doing this? You know, is my child sad because I'm not there, you know, in the second grade classroom letting other kids read to me, right? Mm-hmm. But if this is the life that God has given us to live, we don't have to beat ourselves up. We don't have to worry what I'm missing because it's God's plan for our lives. So that's the first thing to keep in mind. And the second thing, really practical, is bring in as much help as you possibly can, whether it is a neighbor who volunteers to help out, or if you have family in town who can help out, accept as much help as you can. Normally, we like to be kind of superwomen and do it all ourselves and go, no, I don't need any help. I mean, I'm especially bad. My church friends will fuss at me and go, when you were sick, why didn't you let us bring dinners? And I go, oh, I forget. I'm supposed to ask for help, right? So just allowing other people to help you, you know, allowing that village, that community of believers around you to come in and help with your family sometimes is key.
Mm. Now, in Breaking Busy, I love the vulnerability that you shared in terms of you and your husband going through some tough financial times. Mm-hmm. But there was kind of a theme that you used in that context, which was losing everything, but you found deeper meaning in God. I love that. We're Christians. We're believers. We follow Jesus. So how, by losing everything, did you draw closer to God and learn more about Him?
Well, I used to be a stay-home mom. So for 12 years, I stay home, took care of the kids, homeschooled them. We moved around every couple of years for my husband's job. We bought a big, huge house. You know, I had the dream house, had all the stuff. We thought we had made it. And I like to say that we lost everything before losing everything was cool. You know, we the whole country went through a financial collapse. Yeah. We did about a year in advance. So we had a big, huge home. My husband's job came to an end. The economy started tanking. He couldn't get another job. And we had this way overpriced home that was worth so much less than what we paid for it. And it just wouldn't sell. That home went into foreclosure. We went into bankruptcy. We ended up having to move in with my grandfather for a few weeks. Like, we lost everything. I used to beg my husband to let me sell our wedding ring. It was one night laying in bed, holding hands in my great-grandmother's bedroom that we prayed and we said, Lord, we've tried to do it on our own way too long. Help us out of this jam. We need adult supervision. Teach us how to live for you. Show us the path that you want us to go on. And that was the beginning for us to rebuild our lives in the way that he wanted us to live.
What were some of those, again, to help the listener who may be in that same spot? They're stuck in a segment of the economy where it's not rebounding, and they're facing the same thing at 35, 45. Where are we going to live? What were some of those practical takeaways spiritually that you could apply in that environment? What did you trust in? What became self-evident? How did you suppress your wants and only meet your needs? Those are hard things to do as human beings.
Very hard to do. And not to sound trite and to make it sound too easy, but it was through prayer and focusing on Him. What do you want us to do? Make the path so clear that we can't make a mistake knowing what you want us to do, because we know us, we'll probably make a mistake. You know, close the doors that we're not supposed to take. Show us, open the doors wide open where you want us to go. Make a path where there is no path and we will follow. That was the biggest thing for us. And, you know, Proverbs 3:5, learning to lean not on our own understandings, but look to Him, to trust Him, and ask Him to make it so clear that we couldn't mess it up.
Do you think you and your husband drew closer together in that time, when you look at a valley?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It is the valley.
You were probably praying together more often. You were seeking the Lord more often. Isn't that odd?
It is. And a few years after that, we're in a new home and things are great. And he looked at me across the table one day and said, were we happier when we were homeless? And I said, maybe. Let's look at those things we were doing back then and make sure we're still doing them today, and we don't get caught up in the busyness and the craziness and the consumerism that is the culture that we live in now.
It really is. It's so true. And Allie, let me ask you this too. You believe one of the things that causes stress is worrying about the future and what could happen. And so many families are full of that kind of worry. I think especially moms. I don't mean to lay it there, but moms are concerned about the future of their kids, their spiritual health, what's happening at school for them. Again, they're wired to be connected in so many ways. Dad is kind of like, hey, you want to play football? Let's go. But have you dealt with that kind of an approach with your own mothering, that you got to let your kids go?
Oh, absolutely. While we've been sitting here, I was thinking about my oldest son, who is going to drive for the first time 3 hours by himself to my cousin's house today.
Today.
I woke up this morning and thought, I'm going to plot it out on Google Maps, and then I'll send it to him to make sure he isn't checking his phone while he's driving. And I thought, he's an 18-year-old man. He's okay. The Lord's got him. I'm just going to trust that he's okay. For any type of worry, whether it's with our kids or our families or our future or our finances, it is easy to have this thought pop in our head, and then we go on that spiral of anxiety, because one thought leads to another. Yeah. And it's
typically negative thoughts.
Always negative. Yeah, it's a spiral down. So for me, I had to do this thing that I call truth talk, which I go, okay, this is what I'm thinking about, but I don't know for sure if it's true. It could happen. It couldn't happen. But I'm going to replace my thoughts with truth. So I go to scripture and go, okay, Philippians 4:8, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is good, think on these things. So we can imagine a million different things that can go wrong, but we need to replace that with the truth of God's word. and not let, and it kind of catches us when we are spiraling down in worries and helps get our mind back in the right place.
In fact, you have a framework in your book, Breaking Busy. You call it the 5 F's that give you a foundation. Like there's another F to provide some structure for you to think through these things. What is it?
Oh, yes. I love alliteration because it helps me remember things. So it's the 5 F's of decision making. So if I have a big decision, I will use all the 5 F's. If it's a little decision, it's probably just going to be one of them. So I pick and choose. But it's super handy. The first one is faith. Any decision we make, we want to look at it in light of Scripture. Mm-hmm. Is this something that God wants? Is it something that God doesn't want? We pray about it. We know from the book of James that we pray and we are granted wisdom from the Lord. So always look at any decision you make through the lens of faith. The second one is family. Any decision you have to make, if you're married, what does your spouse say? If you have children, how is it going to affect your kids? So that's an easy way to know, should I say yes, should I say no, how it's going to affect the family. The third F is future. I love the idea that we think about ourselves a little bit in the future. So I'm always thinking about future Allie.
What does that do for you, though, when you do that?
Well, it gives me the strength today to be able to say no graciously, because I know the future version of myself is going to be annoyed that I said yes.
Like, that's so true.
Future Allie is all, like, morning Allie is always mad at last night's Allie because I stayed up too late. So morning Allie's like, what are you doing last night, Allie? But it's not just in the morning. It could be in a month. Mm. So I use this thing called the 10-10-10 analysis with little decisions. I ask myself, what am I going to think about this in 10 minutes? What am I going to think about it in 10 weeks? What am I going to think about it in 10 months? And so normally, anything that I say yes to in 10 minutes, I'm going to feel great because I've made somebody else happy. So any request, I say yes, I'm a hero, everyone's happy, it's a parade. But then when I think, okay, how am I going to outwork this decision in 10 weeks? That's when the rubber starts meeting the road, because maybe I don't really have the time or the resources or the energy to do it. And then 10 months, that's when I'll really be aggravated if I said yes when I should have said no. So with this concept of thinking of ourselves in the future, it helps me to go, you know, I want to say yes to this, but I'm pretty sure I need to say no because I'm going to be upset in the future because I don't have any way to fulfill that
obligation.
That's
great. So it gives you some accountability for your responses. Mm-hmm. Okay, you've covered faith, family, future. Two more F's. What are they?
The fourth one is fulfillment. I believe that God has given us all such unique passions and abilities and talents that when we can make a decision based on how God made us, we should. I mean, why would he make us all so unique if we weren't going to outwork that in our decisions in life? And then the final one is friends. We know that many counselors make for good decisions, but that was before the era of Facebook.
Yeah, so too many counselors.
Don't make wise decisions.
That's
so
good.
I like to look at the two or three people who've earned the right to speak into my life, whose lives bear good fruit with the decisions I have to make. So that's it. It's faith, family, future, fulfillment, and friends.
Allie, this has been so good. I mean, your book, Breaking Busy, I think will equip moms particularly, but women, men too, of how to think through practical steps to take to get their life under a bit more control. And let me turn to you, the listener. Today's program is a great example of what we want to do to help you in your walk and your journey in this life. We know you're busy. We're all busy. But this will give you some very practical ways to make your life less hectic. And I think the most important benefit, John, is especially again for parents to be able to declutter, de-wind their busyness so that they can concentrate on the most important job that they have, and that's to raise their children in a way that they will honor the Lord, follow the Lord. That's job one for all of us. So that is the core reason that we wanted Allie on today, to help you in that way. Allie, it has been great to have you here at Focus. Thanks for coming.
Thank you. It was great to be here.
And on behalf of Jim Daly and the entire Focus on the Family team, thanks for listening. I'm John Fuller.
What a great conversation with Allie Worthington today. I loved when she said, we have to be mindful that we don't get caught up in the busyness, the craziness, and consumerism. Perhaps you'd like to make an assessment of where you're at when it comes to those things. Ask God to reveal where you may be overdoing it. In her book, Breaking Busy, Ali models real-life guidance on boundaries, relationships, and self-care, humbly examining her own mistakes and walking through how she learned from her missteps and found peace in a world of busyness. You can find Breaking Busy when you visit safamily.co.za or give us a call on 031 716 3300 to order. Also, don't forget to check out our Christmas catalogue online for great deals on a wide range of resources as well as novelty gifts. There's something to suit the whole family. Speaking of Christmas, I'm sure you'll agree that it's the season that's all about celebrating God's blessings in our lives. Can I count on you to help us make a difference by giving your gift of family donation today? You can do so online at safamily.co.za, and every gift we receive will be used to impact marriages and support families through our ministry. If you need more info, call our office on 031 716 3300. I'm Alison Schnell for Focus on the Family Africa, inviting you to join us next time when we'll, as always, help you and your family thrive in Christ.